Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the May 2nd, 2022 Berthe County Board of Commissioners meeting. And Ms. LaShawna, can we have a roll call, please?
Vice Chairman Trent. Correction, Chairman Trent.
Present.
Vice Chair Ronald Wesson.
Present.
Commissioner Atkins.
Present.
Commissioner Lee.
Present.
Commissioner Robertson.
Present.
Mr. Juan Vaughn.
Present.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Wesson, would you please do the invocation, pledge allegiance, please?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you, sir.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, we come to you this evening with thanksgiving in our heart. Lord God, you've been so good to all of us, Lord God, individually and collectively as a community. Lord God, we thank you for this turn in the weather. And let us try to enjoy it and have time with the new time change to enjoy family and things after work. Lord God, continue to bless this board. Let us be thoughtful. Let us have an opening ear and let us respond as best we can to the citizens' needs of this county. Lord God, just continue to guide us. And we pray that everything that we would do might be pleasing, not only in the citizen's sight, but in your sight as well. Thank you, Lord God. We ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, sir.
Public comments, 3 minutes, public comments. We have any public comments? Ms. Cartwright, any public comments?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, reports. 2022 primary update, Board of Elections, Chair Michael Freeman. All right, Ms. Sheila Holloman is going to be standing in for the chairman.
Good evening. Just to explain what the primary is, the statewide primary will be held on Tuesday, May the 17th. During this election, voters can choose which candidates they prefer to be on the general election ballot. The purpose of the primary is to narrow the field of candidates for the general election. In the primary, registered voters across the state can vote in the primary. However, voters affiliated with any political party will be given the ballot for that party. Unaffiliated voters may choose the ballot for candidates of any party. And for Berthe County, this election, we have one Democrat ballot and one Republican ballot. We don't have any Libertarians who file as candidates. The winners of the primary are determined. The nominee will appear on the ballot in the general election. To become the party's nominee, the candidate must win by at least 30% plus one of the total votes cast. Just to give you some dates for the primary, May 10th is the deadline to submit absentee ballot request forms by mail. Any citizen can submit an absentee ballot request form, but it has to be on the state form. We also have one-stop early voting, which is another form of absentee voting. That started last Thursday. We have two sites, the Board of Elections and Powellsville Town Hall. And every weekday, they are both open from 8 to 7:30 p.m. and we'll open the last Saturday, which is May the 14th from 8 to 3 p.m. And as of 5 o'clock today, the total sites, both sites, we had a total of 513 votes. And the State Board has a lot of useful links that you can go to. If you wanna, you can do a voter search to find out your voter registration. It can also show you a sample ballot. You can also do a search of your polling place if you don't know, if you're new and you don't know exactly where the polling place is located. You can do a search on that. You can also do these searches on the county's election webpage.
If there has to be a runoff, when is that date? Do you know offhand?
If there needs to be a second primary, that would be on July the 26th.
Anybody else have any other questions?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. Have a great day. Okay. Next on the agenda will be Council of Aging updates and upcoming events by Director Vanita Thompson. Ms. Thompson, you with us?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing?
To everyone. I'm doing fine.
Great.
Just want to kind of give you kind of emphasize to you all what we are about to do on May 13th, which is Friday. Well, not this Friday, which we will have a Old American celebration with the theme Aging My Way. And we really would like for the commissioners and whoever else in there would like you to come out to participate in our events. We're going to have like for the men, we're going to have the best bow tie contest, best tie, best silly tie contest. For the women, we will have the best Sunday hat, best flower hat, most outrageous hat. So, and there's going to be some gifts for it. So whoever wins the event will be, you know, will be compensated for it. So we would really would like you all to come. We're going to have Captain Bob's is going to be providing the food for us. And we're going to have like the hula hoop contest. We're going to have a cornhole toss, different other games we're going to have, like you could ping pong bounce, where you bounce the ping pongs in a cup, see who can get the most in a cup at, you know, at a certain time. We just want to have a great Old American celebration for the seniors of the Burke County. Now, also on May 27th, we're going to have our annual senior citizen resource fair, where there are going to be different vendors. People can come, and there's going to be somebody that probably do blood pressure checks. And I think there was supposed to be a stroke screening or something going on. Different things going to be happening for that day too. So we really would like to have you all to come out and participate. And if you would like to be a part of the event, either event, where you want to do remarks or whatever, just call me and let me know, you know, and so we can get you on. But now, if you want to be a part of the event on the 13th for the Old American Celebration, please let me know, because we'll try to make sure we do have enough food for everyone. So please call me and say, I want to participate in that event so we can have everything together. So we need some volunteers to come out and help us to do some of these games. So if you like to volunteer, do that. Call me and let me know that too, because I really would like to let the county know our commissions are involved, you know, with our seniors. So we really would like to have you all to come and volunteer. If you don't want to volunteer, just still come, you know, to be a part of this event. So anybody have questions?
So what's the time for that event?
On the 13th is from 10:30 to 1:30. And the one on the 27th is from 10 to 1.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Thompson.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is going to be economic development update by Director Steve Biggs.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Steve.
I'm gonna first off pass out a quick sheet here. I was notified by Chairman Trent Saturday night, last night.
Yes,
I can't remember which night.
It was a weekend night.
Buyout took place today, actually, with Valley Protein. And they, as you can see here, they were bought out by a company that is called Darling. And, I'm sorry.
Now we know why the plane was coming in and out so much.
It was and all this is public knowledge, as you can see. It was bought for $1.1 billion. They actually have a little over 200 processing plants on five different continents. They are an American headquartered company out of Irving, Texas. They, up until this morning, they had 135 locations in North America, which include Canada. So now I'm assuming it's going to be 165 since Valley Proteins had close to 30 plants. They have three plants in South America, 51 in Europe, 13 in Asia, and one in Australia. The company was actually founded in 1882, so it's not a fly by night. That's the good thing. And I will tell you, too, their stock was up $1.60 today. I did look at that. But Chairman, thank you so much. I told the chairman I had actually spoken with the general manager on some other issues, and this never came up. And it was actually started in late December.
Yeah.
We're happy to have a company come in, certainly to buy this. There's been a few problems with some people from out of town or out of the county coming in trying to unionize Valley, and it really created a problem for them a couple of times. And thank goodness now that Darling Ingredients is here, and I feel real comfortable. We don't have to worry about Valley Protein for any reason at all.
I will say this. I meant when they reached out to me, I meant they're keeping things in-house as they have been. This is a very, very large company that can bring a lot of opportunity to Bertie County in more ways than just the food waste industry. This company is dabbling in everything. They are going to be reaching out, making contact with me. And when that happens, I'll be inviting Commissioner Wesson and Steve, of course, so that we can sit down with them and get an introduction and go from there. Jim Falk has been a good man for Bertie County, a good man for Valley Protein. I think he's built a pretty good relationship with us. I think Mr. Wesson just got to meet him maybe last year. I've known him for about 6 or 7 years now. And he does everything he can to look out for the citizens of Bertie County, people that do work at Valley. And I appreciate what he does for Bertie County.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I think Chairman Trent is right, Steve, because, you know, big company, if there are any other opportunities, you know, we're proud of what they're doing here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But if there are any other opportunities that we can leverage, I mean, to get them to do more here, right? Bring more to we want to try to pursue that with all we got.
And it's amazing what they're in. I mean, like you mentioned, Chairman, they're in the fuel business, in the health business. I would advise you, if you have a few minutes tomorrow, to go online and look them up. You know,
they are a conglomerate.
They really are. They've been strong a long time, but they've really, really been strong for about the last 20 years. I mean, they have bought up a lot of companies that are doing the same thing that they're doing or were doing, and have continued that wherever they were. So, yeah, after I got to doing some investigation today, I was sure glad this was the company that had made that purchase.
And when I got the call at 9:30 that night, it was, like I said, they have got a very large footprint in numerous industries. Numerous.
Oh, yeah.
Numerous.
They look really good. I do want to thank each of you, too, for being at the meet and greet with Scotch Hall, which is now called Ocano. I have, even since our meeting this past Thursday, a week ago, we have had several conversations on things that they are really looking to expand out there. And they just want to make sure everything is going to go smooth. So they want to make sure they know the building inspectors, that they know the planner, that they know y'all. Feel free to call y'all, you know, hey, do you know someone? They want to spend as much money in Bertie County as they can possibly spend. And even so much as last week when Destination by Design was here, and we had a group meeting with some stakeholders on Tuesday night. Mike Eckert, that gave the program the other day, came in just for that that meeting and had a lot to add as far as while we were talking about tourism. So he really wants to be involved in that because naturally that's what they do there is tourism. The new family dollar that y'all have probably seen going up is a welcome mat because not only is it going to be a family dollar, it's going to be a Dollar Tree inside of that, like they're doing a lot of the family dollars. They will be moving, so I understand, out of the one at the Food Line Shopping Center. So naturally, they won't have two of them that close together. But it's going to really be a nice store, and it'll certainly be something we can all be proud of. And very, very glad to have them. Real quick update on Project Sparkle, which is the company that has bought the old Golden Peanut. Had a meeting with them last week, just a short meeting. Everything is still rolling along, but you know, when you buy a piece of property and there might be some contaminants on it, slows things down. And they are in the middle now of, well, they've signed a contract to have most of the buildings there torn down. They're saving two of the buildings, but most of that will be metal that is coming in by rail that'll be stacked there and custom cut and custom weight and all this put together to send for either or building machinery or construction in the North and the Midwest. So hopefully we will see some buildings coming down by mid-June. That's the plan right now. That's their plan right now. As I mentioned, Destination by Design was here last week, and on Monday afternoon when they got here, they met with Robin and some other people that are on the committee, and Mayor Hoggard took them around right here in Windsor because they were late getting in, and showed them around what they have here. They went to dinner that night, and as we all know, there's very few things open on Monday night, right? They went to dinner at a little, it'd always be a little mint to me, I guess, Golden Skillet, and they all wanted to go back before they left. They said it was the best chicken they'd ever eaten in life. But I do want you to know that Monday they did, of course, do a lot of things here and just love the town. But on Tuesday, we started out early at San Susie, went through, and remember now, all this is tourism related, but we went to San Susie, Ocano, I quit calling it Scotch Hall one day, Tall Glass of Water. We went up to Coleraine, visited there, Pilesville, visited there, Askewville, went around there, came back and we had the meeting Tuesday night, but we came back and they wanted some peanuts to take home with them. So we stopped at Bertie Peanuts, and Jack, as he always does, gave them just an absolute great story all about Bertie County. Then on Wednesday, we had a long day. They went to the Blue Jay Indian Woods area, had a long meeting there. Ronald Rasko was mighty kind and showed them all of that particular area. They left from there and went to Weeping Mary. I caught up with them in Lewiston. We toured all of Lewiston, just walking around, checking the town out. We did the same thing at Kelford. We did the same thing at Roxmal. We went into Baker's Peanuts in Roxmal, and she gave them a tour of what she did there. Again, we were looking at the tourism part of it. And then we circled around and came back to Orlando and did the same thing there, just kind of searched around the town and showed them what was going on. And hopefully by the end of this week, they're going to come back with some stuff that we can really get started putting all this together. Yes, sir.
Yes, I understand they had a great time and it was well planned. But I got to tell you, the folks at Hope were a little disappointed that they didn't get a chance because the schedule got backed up and they didn't do it. So if there is another opportunity to connect them with Hope, because they were really looking forward to it. They had planned for it and had a lot of information to share. So if any way we can make that connection would be great.
Absolutely.
As we go forward.
And we will.
Yeah,
we will.
And they understood it. They understood the need to cut the schedule.
Yeah, I think we got there at 3. They closed at 3, I think it is, and we got there like 3:15, 3:20.
Yeah.
And certainly they hated missing it. They did walk the grounds, but it wasn't the same as having somebody tell you what's going on.
Yeah, because they wanted to take them through and let them see it.
But we will make sure that does happen. Yes, sir. I know you probably have noticed right out here in the old Thompson Lumber Company, East Coast Roofing is moving right along. We were certainly thankful for them putting their business there because I know that they'll, eventually make that building look really, really nice. And thanks to Windsor Township Development Corporation and several others that were eager to loan money to make that happen. So they are moving right along. High Speed Gear, we hadn't talked about them in a while, but as y'all know, unfortunately, the charter school is being shuttered and or has been. And High Speed Gear is going to remain in the building as of right now. They want to remain there. We've had conversations with Alan because the way that the contract was set up, the school paid all the utility bills. But if they're not going to be there, we're not sure how that's going to happen. But we're going to work that out, but they are happy to be here. Things are still rolling well. Only thing they could do is use more people. If you know someone that's looking a job, they're always looking for people.
Steve, yes, sir. And so the school owned the building,
yes,
right?
Sir. That's correct.
Yeah, and I know there was some issues about utility bills or back utility bills. So that's not going to impact High Speed Gear, right?
No, sir. Okay. Not at all. Good. As soon as we saw this coming down the pipe, I called Bill at High Speed and explained to him what was happening. And then when we found out for sure it was going to be shut down, then Bill and Alan got together about what was going to happen. He said, we're not going to let it shut down for a $2,500 a month utility bill. Good. Not going to let that happen.
Good. That's good. They've been a good shot in the arm for us.
They really have.
And I think they had mentioned once before in the very beginning that they're originally out of Texas, I believe, correct? Aren't they out of Texas originally?
They have a place in Houston, yes, sir.
And they've been talking about moving some more manufacturing this way?
Well, they would really like to have a lot more manufacturing here if we could provide the people. But that being said, their contract was only 5 years with the school of the old Wrangler building. And so part of my presentation here tonight talks about spec buildings. And as you know, we own some property out there just down the road from them, less than a tenth of a mile, that we have talked to them about. And whether we go after and build a spec building that would suit their needs and then sell it to them, or, you know, we're working on that now.
Well, if they're interested in having conversation, I think it'd be very important that, Steve, you set a meeting up with myself, the vice chair, and we can sit down with the county manager also and have a discussion as far as what they're looking for and what their ideas are, and see if we can't get a matching comprehension as far as what they're wanting to need and what their needs are. See if something can arise out of this.
Well, I would think the school would be coming up. I mean, the old Wrangler building itself right. would be coming back up on the market.
Well, and the problem is that building is not financed locally. It's some brokerage up in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going to happen there.
That could last for months, maybe years.
It could. And again, their contract's 5 years, so they're only in now a little over a year and 4 months, I think it is, maybe a year, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think Timmy Lee is right, because that actually, since the charter school is no longer going to be operating, at least there, this could become a great opportunity for us in terms of a short sale or something like that, if they have to get rid of those assets. So we need to keep our eyes on that target.
They are definitely looking, I can tell you. They love the building. It's perfect for what they do.
Yes.
Low ceilings, you know, plenty of dock space to move stuff in and out. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And they are doing a good job.
But it'd be a good thing to still set up a meeting so we can have these conversations.
Absolutely.
And because, like I said, we can move in a different direction or stay in the same direction.
And following up with what I was mentioning about spec buildings, I went down to see a friend of mine, Chuck Eustace, who was in Bladen County. I was referred to him by the former guy that worked with Curtis Wynn on a professional basis. This guy's name is Eddie Miller. He's originally from Pequimans County. He understands our plight in Northeast North Carolina of not having things that we need. And Eddie retired from USDA and then went to work with Touchstone Industries. So that's how him and Curtis became such good friends. And when Eddie heard me talking about spec buildings, he said, "You got to go see Chuck. You got to go down there." And in their industrial park, they have built 24 spec buildings in the last 20 years. And, you know, some of those industries employ 20 people. Some of those industries employ 100 people. But what was fascinating to me was that one guy went in the middle of their industrial park and said he wanted to start a winery. And I'll be real quick with this because I could stretch this story out for hours. It's so enticing. But he went in and wanted to open a winery in this place. And they said, "Look, we've already had one company come in. It failed, didn't they?" He said, "I'll take their building. And I tell you what I'll do, I'll start fixing it up, and everything that I fix up, I'll take it out of my pocket. You will cost you nothing." He did that. He opened a winery. One of his friends said, "Well, if you can make wine too, sure you can make bourbon. If you can make bourbon too, sure you can make scotch. If you can make scotch, you can make vodka." And all of a sudden, he was making everything. Well, he had people coming down and wanting to tour. There's nowhere in Bladen County for them to stay. Elizabethtown has one hotel that isn't big enough for two people to stay in, so couldn't carry a family. But anyhow, so he started building little cottages on a man-made lake that was there. He built 19 cottages, and I was there on a Tuesday night. And if I hadn't called ahead, I wouldn't have got a room. I got the last room, and I'd called 2 weeks prior to it. But fast forward, he had a phone call one day, and the man's last name was Bush. And he took the phone call, and it was Augustus Bush, his grandson. And for those that might not know who Augustus Bush was, they still, they don't own Budweiser still, but they still own all the distributing rights. And they are coming in there to build a work, play, and stay area, which is becoming, as we heard people say last week at Ocano, you got a place that people can actually work during the day in that industrial park, then come home to a nice small home, and they're willing to build the parks and all this to make it a work, stay, and play. Maybe a small par three golf course or something like that. But I tell you all that to tell you, I don't know how far we'll get along, but we're going to work this, as my granddaddy used to say, we're going to ride this horse till he falls over and we'll get another one then. But I'm really looking forward to working this. And as Chuck said, it's not something you do overnight. I mean, this is a 2 or 3 year process of just getting, number one, if we were to do this, we're going to have, you know, 150 to 200 acres of land somewhere, and then work all the infrastructure. Of course, we'll be looking at every grant that Department of Commerce has, Golden Leaf, everybody else, that we can build a really nice industrial park. And that's part of what I'm working on now. And again, I want to thank you all for your support on the broadband. I'd really appreciate that, because that is one thing that, as we all know, the county really needs, is to be able to cover every child and every business in this county. And I feel real comfortable that they will be doing that. And I'll answer any questions if anybody, I'll try to, excuse me.
Well, that's a lot of input. That's a lot. Steve, that's great information, man. Thank you for sharing it with us. But, you know, one of the things that I still remain concerned about that affects economic development is our housing situation, right? And Chairman Trent and I had a chance to have a conversation with a company not interested in county money, but willing to spend their own money if we could find a 6 to 10 acre site within 2.5 miles from the grocery store. The more central it is to a urban or municipal area, gets additional points. There's a program that helps contractors with the financing of their debt. So it doesn't involve, you know, us at all, just their debt service, right? The program requires a $10,000 upfront application that if you don't get it, you lose the money. But they are interested in taking that risk if we could help them find 6 to 10 acres of land and a reason, they'll do the pricing, just land that could be within that footprint, 2.5 miles closer to the downtown municipality, the better. And they'll take it from there in terms of the negotiation. They've done zillion. The one over in Edenton behind the hospital, they did that one. So, but they don't need any assistance from us other than if we can find them approximately about 8 acres of land at a, you know, and the deadline for submitting the application is September.
Did they by chance, and just so I'll notice when I'm starting to look, did they by chance give you any parameters as far as infrastructure?
Yes.
That they're going to have
yes. I can tell you now, they're going to need city water or county water, city water, sewer. Okay. Also, the other thing is they got to be within 2.5 miles of not only the a grocery store, but also within a drugstore. And the drugstore has to be more than just selling drugs. They have to sell different products in that drugstore. And then they can take advantage of the state and federal tax credits and also get the assistance that Commissioner Wesson is talking about. This is not a fly-by-night company. This company is this is what they do for a living. They've built probably thousands of units now.
They've done this every year. They get one or two every year because there's only, 20-something that are granted by the state? And they get a couple, one or two every year. So they're willing to take the risk on Bertie because we line up very well as a low-wealth community. But they handle all the risks. All we need to do is help them find some property.
And it's a point scoring system.
Right.
And we fall right in suit to get
max out
probably the highest score that you can get So if you could put some concentration, maybe some conversation with Alan or whatever, look at some places, you know, it'd be a great idea.
And they've already identified about 4 or 5. So I can give you those. They don't, you know, I don't think they've gone any further than say, here's some that we can see GPS and that kind of thing. Right.
They actually pulled up the GPS over the phone while we were on phone with them and pulled up Google Earth and started looking at different areas.
I couldn't agree more. That's desperately needed. We had that comp. As a matter of fact, Mike Astra the other day told me that if I found a building somewhere that he could renovate, he needed it to put people that are coming to work for them in the building. He said, you know, there are people that are going to work for us. Unfortunately, they can't do a $350,000, $400,000 house. But if I can build it for them here or remodel something here, same thing you're talking about.
I stand by that stat, Steve. There are more people who work here in Bertie County but don't live here than any other county in this region, percentage-wise, even right. more than Pitt County. Right. That's a shocker.
You're right.
And that's because we have a housing shortage.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay. Thank you very much, Steve. Have a nice day. Okay. Next on the agenda is going to be financial summary and ARPA project expenditure reports update by finance officer, William Robertson.
Thank you. Thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
$8 billion. Wow. Okay, my financial sum is through March. March being 75% of the year. I'll give you that scenario so we can look down the column. I briefly going to point out a couple places that do look alarming. One is emergency services. Again, I would like to emphasize that because of the way we're going to reallocate some of the funds and all for ARP, I have not made those adjustments yet. So once all that is being done, I think it'll come more in line to where we expect to see it at. So even though it's alarming right now, it's going to come down a little bit when I make these changes.
Do you think that we will still have an overage there? Best guess?
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping I'm going
to be. But it's touch and go, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping I'm going to be back under the line of what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Run that same tone. Because one of the things I said to Juan just today, right, is that we're going to have a work session on the budget coming up, right?
Yes. So
if we could get the company that does the collections and things for EMS.
The billing company.
Right. Yeah. And get them, because they have always been right on the money. Almost.
They've been very, very close. Yes.
If we can get them to give us a projection as to where they think we're going to finish in both segments of the business, so we can have it in time for that budget session. You know, and we can do it internally but let's let them give us.
I'd love for them to give them. When I take my crystal ball guess, I love to have somebody else doing the same thing to see if I'm close or whatever.
They've got a good track record.
Yeah. But just skimming through here, there's a couple of places that are over 75%, but there's nothing big. Most of those places are like one-time occurrences that happen to hit this particular month that don't normally come any other month. So it just kind of jacks the number up a little bit. If you happen to flip to the back, you'll notice that at this moment, I have no reimbursables. I have collected everything everybody owes us at this moment. So that's good.
So all of our money's been collected. That's been sitting out there for 5 years now.
Everything has been collected. Yes. So,
fantastic.
So and then you go back over to the front, you'll see that our cash is basically up about almost $3 million from last year at this time. So
right.
That was all that money we've been waiting for to come in. So we've gotten all of that. So
cash counts and fund balance.
Yes. So unless there's something here you want to zero in on, I think I will move on to ARP.
Yeah, let's go to water real quick.
Water.
Yeah.
If you notice water, the sales and services at 90%. They're almost reaching what we projected to receive, and we still got 2 months to go. So I'm really expecting that to look much more positive than we've seen in the last couple of years.
Okay.
I know we should expect that because we did go up on rates, but.
All right, but we're still running within budget, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now, if I can move on to ARP.
Yes.
As you're aware, April 30th was the deadline to file our annual report. I just want to tell you briefly that on April 28th at 3:29 p.m., it was filed.
Thank you.
And it was filed with Juan and David and I in the conference room going through the entire thing, making sure that we all were in agreement of what we were doing. One of the main reasons why is I wanted to speak to this. We did go with the lost revenue item, mainly because counties that receive $10 million or less should elect the standard allowance because they will be able to use the entire ARP allocation for the broadest category of eligible uses that come from the NACC. Also from the LGC, all local governments receiving $1 million to $10 million should elect the standard allowance. It allows you to have the broadest use of the funds, and that's what we elected. The only other thing that I had to do was I basically had to give them a summary of what kind of projects we were planning on spending this money on. And we had already set aside a bunch of money from the first round, and I basically told them about all those projects we were doing.
William, have they given us, I know when they say, because I read it myself, to set a broader, right?
Yeah.
But have they really defined that? How broad? What do you have to?
It's almost anything that you would spend county funds on, excluding pension plans and rainy day funds.
That's right.
Okay. So in other words, hypothetically, tall glass of water. Okay. Right?
If y'all were going to elect to spend money okay. on it, it looks like it would be ineligible.
To right. That's the way I understand it.
And
all the sessions we've been to, that's
I've heard the same thing, but remember that the original focus, right? It had to be related to
COVID related.
Yes, sir.
But now with the final rule about revenue loss,
yeah,
they're relaxing. Not only are they relaxing the restrictions on how to spend the money, okay. they're also relaxing the restrictions on documenting how you spend that money.
Oh, I knew the documenting
so
part.
One of the things I love the most is that it does not require all the red right. tape that all the other.
You don't have to provide all the backup to go along where right. you're spending right. the money
one
at.
One of the reasons is because some of the smaller municipalities were declining the money
right.
because they couldn't do the paperwork.
That's right.
Literally.
Well,
like Beargrass, a little place. Like,
read it out for us, William.
Government services include but not limited to maintenance or pay-go funding, building of infrastructure, roads, modernization, cybersecurity, hardware, software, protection of criminal infrastructure, health service, environmental remediation, school or educational services, provision of police, fire, and other public safety services. Government service generally including service traditionally provided by government, unless the Treasury stated otherwise. For example, construction of schools, hospitals, building and maintenance, infrastructure, health services, general government administrative staff and administrative facilities, environmental remediation, provision of police, fire, and other public safety services, including purchase of fire trucks and police vehicles.
And see, William, the thing is, every one of those things can be related to being impacted by the pandemic, right? Everything you read on that list.
Well, actually, some of the examples I saw, there were some buildings being built that had nothing to do with COVID.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
That
was still falling
yeah,
parameter.
The example that they gave showed yeah. that they used money for it.
Exactly.
Our National Association of Counties worked really hard to make sure the counties got their fair share of this money. And then they were getting bombarded with questions. And so they went back to the legislators and said, you know, with all these questions. And I really think between folks not taking the money because they couldn't do the paperwork, and then all the questions that we bombarded them with, the National Association helped us get this final rule that says we could spend it.
And one of the things I thought was kind of interesting, one of the final things I read was that the majority of the categories that you could use the funding for could fall under lost revenue. So it's almost
right.
like you can go through the trouble of documenting right. all this and doing all the red
That's
tape,
right.
or you can do it under here. especially if you had $10 million or less.
And you don't have to basically back any of that up also, correct?
That's exactly right, because lost revenue as a result of the impact of the pandemic.
Right.
So anywhere you had lost revenue, so if we want to do something with Targa's, all we had to say is somehow we lost revenue potential as a result of.
Well, we could because of late start.
Now we don't have to say
that. Ecotourism
is. We have to say any of that.
We don't have to say anything. I meant we're moving that direction.
One final thing I would just like to point out, since I did have this. Consistent with the requirement, Treasury expects to provide second payments to eligible local governments approximately 12 months after the first payment.
When they expect the first payment again?
It was in June, I believe.
All right, but you said June. In the middle of June? Early June? What do you think?
I think last time it was around early to middle, I want to say.
I think it was close to early. I was going to look that up and I forgot to. But
I thought they said the second one would come in September.
They've been saying it'll be a year after.
Months. And how much will the first one be?
1.8, and we get 1.8
for 3%. Okay, so 1.8 in June, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I need to talk to you in reference to that.
Okay, well, what happens, William, if it, how does that money affect what we do, quote, in the budget? Because if it comes in, like 2 weeks to go before the deadline for our budget, what happens?
Basically, I cannot count these funds until these funds are used.
Gotcha. That's what I wanted to be clear. So if they can't count it till they use, even if you got them, Jim, nothing you can do. You could spend them, but you can't count them in the budget.
I think the important thing is that if they come in June, then we can sit down and discuss that as far as.
Because I would like to have another.
Spend them,
I would like to have another on record plan.
Yeah, exactly.
But this next half, we're going to have to use part of that for the broadband stuff.
Yeah. Basically, we've already just committed some of that. Yes.
No, just $250,000, and but again, make a long story short, let's have a sit down and just have a conversation about this. And then on a work session prior, we can get all this ironed out at budget. Okay.
Thank you.
Does that sound good, Mr. Manager? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, William. All right. No board appointments at this time. Consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table item 3 on the consent agenda to handle that another time.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion and we have a proper second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right. Consent agenda number 1, approved tax release journal, March 2022.
Make a motion we approve the tax release journal for March. That.
Okay, we got a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Budget amendments. You need to read those out, Mr. William.
You need me to speak to one. I'll speak to them real quick. One is DSS has got some additional funding for adult protective services. So I need to put that in, both revenue and expense. And JCPC has come up with some what they call discretionary funding, which they're increasing the allocation to some of these organizations, and that's what this is for, to get that put in there.
Okay,
those are both passive revenue and those are all kind of passive, but nothing negatively.
And nothing going to affect us.
Okay, good question. Okay, you have a motion, please.
Move approve the budget amendments.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Letter engagement, contract the audit accounts for Bertie County year ending June 30th, 2022 by Thompson, Price, and Scott, Adams and Company, PA. I assume the contract, as we've discussed, has been reviewed, and you've already got the added language in that contract.
Yes, it has. The liquidated damages provision that the board requested be included in the last contract is included here. Actually, the LGC requested that it be included in the engagement letter, as it is here. So the engagement letter, as well as the contract, is here. Again, no changes from last year for your approval.
Okay, thank you. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion to approve the letter of engagement contract with the for auditing accounts for the year ending June 30, 2022. Thompson Price Scott Adams Company, PA.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Okay. County Manager, we're going to discuss the upcoming meetings, okay?
Okay.
Upcoming meetings, we have a May 23rd, 10 a.m. That is going to be Manager's Budget Presentation and Budget Work Session, okay? May 24th also, Budget Work Session will be continued, okay? So make sure everybody's got that outlined. I think we discussed this, I think, about 2 months ago, and everybody should have this on their calendar already. June 6th, 6 p.m. will be the Budget Public Hearing. Okay. You're still good to go with that, correct, County Manager?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions or references, or anybody see any criteria here they have an issue with?
Yeah, I had on my schedule budget hearing was going to be the 24th, but I guess not.
24th of
May. I know that we have a work session. Budget. No.
The work session is then. The work. Yes. Work session, 23rd and 24th. Hearing is June 6th.
Yeah, we have a regular scheduled meeting on June 6th, and that's when we're going to do the public hearing is on that.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody good with that? Greg, Mr. Weston?
Yes,
right. Mr. Robertson, you good?
Sir.
Okay, yes, sounds good. All right, thank you. Commissioner's report, Mr. Robertson?
No, at this time.
Ms. Lee?
Yes, sir. Our North Carolina Association of County Commissioners district meeting for districts 1 and 2 will be held at 5:30 this coming Thursday at the Chowan Old Courthouse. It's not too late to register. I have registered. I plan to attend. Also, donuts with the veterans. We're going to do that again on the 11th at 9 a.m. And that. So come join us, and this is Military Appreciation Month, so be a good time to have it. And then Windsor's Fire Department is having their T&C fundraiser on the 13th at 6 o'clock, so that should be a good time.
Okay. Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, the two grants that were Congressman Butterfield's earmark grants were submitted, one by Robin and one by myself. And we had anticipated having an answer from Congressman Butterfield by Friday, but they now have delayed that final release of those who, quote, have made the cut until sometime this week, but it will be released by this week. If we make that cut, we're certainly hopeful that we will, that will then go to subcommittees. Subcommittees will ensure that we all qualify under the items that we filed for. But rarely do they make significant changes to the prioritization that the congressperson has put in. And he has $21 million worth of earmarks for his district. So I think we're in, hopefully, we'll hear something this week. That's the beauty thing. The last thing I'll say is that I just wanted to say thank you to all the citizens who were able to sit in and be a part of the governor's presentation to me on my community service award. I can tell you there was no one more surprised than me in the fact that I had been chosen as a recipient. It was a great honor, but mostly important, it gave me an opportunity to say thank you to, you know, folks across this community who, you know, been a part of my work for many, many years. They considered me under those who had worked for, quote, a long time. Had to be a minimum of 15 years. So I think I just made the cut. But it was just so nice. I had people from all over the country, people I'd known for years, and my family and everybody. We had about 300 people on the call. And it was really, really great. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody. I really appreciated that support. And outside of this is that this was the first time I understand that anyone from the county had won the governor's community service award. And part of the reason, quite frankly, is that we never had a committee in this county. I was actually nominated through the Hereford County Committee had to review mine and then send it to the governor. But because of my selection, I have submitted a list of names to them to elect or form a group here in Berkeley County so we can make sure that we should have someone to submit virtually, not maybe not every year, but as often as we think we have folks who qualify. So I think it's a great opportunity for us. We just had never taken advantage of it, but we can now. So thank you very much.
Mr. Atkins.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. County manager.
No reports tonight, Chairman.
Okay. County attorney.
No reports.
Okay. LaShonda, we have anybody for 3 minutes comments?
No, Chairman Trent.
Okay, thank you very much. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to go into closed session.
I make a motion to go into closed session under General Statute 143-318.11A3, 5, and 6.
Have a second, please.
So second the motion.
All right. We have a first and a proper second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're now in closed session. Okay. All right, can I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
You have a second, please?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Well, have a nice evening.